إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله جل وعلا، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة. ثم أما بعد، فإني أرحب بكم جميعا في درس الليلة، ونواصل من كتاب الأجوبة المفيدة عن أسئلة المناهج الجديدة لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد العلامة الدكتور بقية السلف صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات. Once again, I welcome all of you. We continue tonight reading from the book of our noble Shaykh al-Allama Dr. Salih al-Fawzan حفظه الله, Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovative Methodologies. And you know how important it is to know the Sunnah. It is an obligation for the Muslim to learn Tawheed and also to learn what opposes Tawheed, from the things that nullify Tawheed, such as major shirk, and also to learn those things that yet may not nullify Tawheed completely but takes away from its perfection, so we can avoid all that to preserve our Tawheed. Likewise, we know the importance of the obligation of learning and acquiring from knowledge that which is enough for a person's aqidah to be correct, and ibadat and actions of worship to be correct. Likewise, we learn enough so that our transactions and how we deal with one another be in correct way, the way that is legislated to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we should adorn ourselves with the good manners of Islam. And with that, we should also be aware of innovations and be aware of the innovators. We should learn the path of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but likewise we learn the paths of the people of innovations and division, so that we can avoid those paths insha'Allah ta'ala. And that's the importance of this class of tonight, and especially from this great scholar, our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah. But he's not the only one who deals with these matters. We have so many of his brothers among the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah of this time, the like of the great A'imma of this time, Shaykh Ibn Baz, Shaykh Al-Albani, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, Shaykh Muqbil, Shaykh Muhammad Aman Al-Jami, رحمه الشيخ الحماد الأنصاري، الشيخ الغديان. These are those who they passed رحمهم الله ورحم الجميع من أهل السنة والجماعة علماء أهل السنة والجماعة. Likewise, from those who are still alive, may Allah preserve them and allow us to continue to benefit from their work, the like of the Mufti شيخ آل الشيخ, the like of شيخ صالح الفوزان, شيخ اللحيدان, شيخ ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله وحفظهم جميعا, شيخ عبد المحسن, شيخ محمد بن هادي, والشيخ عبيد, إلى غير ذلك من العلماء Ahl al-Sunnah, from the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah. Doesn't matter who they may be, what country they may be, may Allah preserve them and protect them. They all dealt with these matters, and they warned the people against the innovations and the innovators. And the Prophet ﷺ has warned against these things. Walhamdulillah. السؤال الخامس والعشرون. The question number 25 in the book. يقول السائل صنف من الناس يتعصب لمذهب من المذاهب أو عالم من العلماء وصنف آخر يرمي بذلك عرض الحائط ويتغافل عن توجيه العلماء والأئمة فما هو توجيهكم في ذلك؟ سؤال وجيه ومهم جدا. The question is very important, and we pay attention to the question because once you understand the question, then it'd be easy to understand the answer to it. Na'am. The question says, a group of people cling fanatically onto either one of the madhahib. And mainly when you mention the madhahib, mainly what is meant al-madhahib al-arba, the four madhabs, madhab al-Imam Abu Hanifa, wa madhab al-Imam Malik, wa madhab al-Imam al-Shafi'i, wa madhab al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But yet the ulama, they mentioned these are not the only madahib that are known. But alhamdulillah, there was some madahib before them, like Sufyan al-Thawri, he used to have a strong madhab. But these are the ones that were famous, alhamdulillah, and a lot of people. Naam. So this is what he means with the madhab. He said, or one of the scholars. Whilst another group totally rejects that, and instead completely disregards the advice of the scholars and the imams. What is your advice on this? So here in the question, there is two extremes. And remember, we, alhamdulillah, we should be upon moderation. We should be upon moderation between two extremes, al-wasatiyya. لا إفراط ولا تفريط. وهذا الذي سيقوله الشيخ, ذكره الشيخ حفظه الله. قال نعم هذان على طرفي نقيض. قال نعم في الجواب هذان على طرفي نقيض. منهم من يغلو في التقليد حتى يتعصب لآراء الرجال وإن خالفت الدليل. منهم من يغلو في التقليد حتى يتعصب لآراء الرجال وإن خالفت الدليل. وهذا مذموم. هذا التعصب مذموم. هذا الغلو في بعض الأشخاص مذموم. وقد يؤول للكفر والعياذ بالله, وقد يؤول للكفر والعياذ بالله, كما قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. وسنقرأ لكم كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. In answering this question, شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى, he says yes, both of these groups are upon opposite extremes. They are both of them upon opposite extremes. So one extreme, the other to the other extreme. Among them are those who go to extremes in blind following. Taqleed. Not only did they make taqleed, but they go to extreme. They go to extreme in blind following to the point that they fanatically cling onto the opinions of men, even when they contradict the proofs and evidence, riyad billah. And that's taqlid a'ma. Even if what those people are upon clearly opposes the and contradicts the proofs and evidences. He said, and this is condemned, and it eventually results in disbelief. May Allah protect us from that. Ameen. والشيء بالشيء يذكر. يقول أهل العلم ومنهم الشيخ صالح بن عثيمين, محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى, أن للعامي له أن يقلد, له يجوز له التقليد, لكن يقلد عالم من علماء الدين من أهل السنة والجماعة يجوز, يجوز له ذلك، لأنه عامي لا يفهم لا يعرف، ليس له من العلم ما يتبين له الراجح من المرجوح، ولا الضعيف من الصحيح، ولا المطلق من المقيد، أو الناسخ من المنسوخ، ليس له من العلم ما يؤهله لذلك، فهذا يجوز له التقليد. قال: أما العالم وطالب العلم القوي هذا لا يجوز له أن يقلد، لكن عليه أن يبحث بما أعطاه الله من علم وما ترجح له بدليله، هذا الذي يأخذ. أما العامي والجاهل فهذا يجوز له التقليد. Since the Sheikh mentioned the taqlid here and blindly following, I just want to share with you something here is very important at this point. A statement of our noble Sheikh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that when it comes to follow the opinions of the ulama, he says the laymen who are not students of knowledge, they are not strong students of knowledge, and of course they are not scholars themselves, it is permissible for them to follow the opinions of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In our time, alhamdulillah, it's for us to follow the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Baz, for example. If Sheikh Ibn Baz says something, alhamdulillah, we take that and we act upon it. If somebody tell you, where do you bring this from? Say, akhi, Sheikh Ibn Baz says. If he tell you, why didn't you take Sheikh Al-Albani's? Akhi, Allah, ammi. Ana ammi, I'm just a layman, ya akhi. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the ulama. Ay na'am. Likewise, if another person or the same person in another issue, he followed the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani, for example. And this happened to us a lot. When we check the ahadith and the narrations, and we find that Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, authenticated such narration, we say, alhamdulillah, sahihah Al-Albani. And we find al-hadith was said weak by Sheikh Al-Albani, we say, alhamdulillah, hadith weak, Sheikh Al-Albani. Me, I can't do that, because I'm a layman person. Okay, I didn't reach a level of knowledge when I can say, okay, wow, Sheikh Al-Albani is my Sheikh, Jazahullah khairan, mashallah, but look, I have to look at the opinion, I gotta look at this hadith. That's not for me. May Allah get me to another level, inshallah, so we can use, but it's with knowledge, it's not with famous or how many people are behind you. That doesn't work like that. That doesn't change anything. What changes is the knowledge. What level of knowledge that person, the ground that the person is upon. And I'm going to share with you, and Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, complete for you the statement of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, and Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu ta'ala, he says, yes, it is permissible for a layman to follow the opinion, but the alim has to be from the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. Of Ahlul Sunnah, like Sheikh Ibn Baz. These are people who are known. يَشْهَدُ لَهُمُ الْجَمِيعِ حَتَّى أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ. These are ulama. Even Ahlul Bid'ah, they tell you, no, Sheikh Ibn Baz is alim, Sheikh Al-Albani alim, even though they talk about them, but they know their fadl. Now you can choose one of these, their opinion, Sheikh Al-Ataymin, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Fawzan, Salam, Qala Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Qala Sheikh Rabi', Qala Sheikh Ubaid, Qala Sheikh Zayd. Naam, you can do that. However, Sheikh Al-Ataymin says, but for a scholar or for students of knowledge, a strong student of knowledge who have enough knowledge, it's not for them to imitate, to follow blindly, but they have to follow, the use the knowledge that Allah has given them. Share with you an example, because كما كان يقول الشيخ الألباني وبالمثال يتضح المقال. Sheikh Al-Albani, he is always, when he mentions something like this, he will give an example. I give you an example that I witnessed myself. I was in the house of our noble Shaykh al-Walid, al-Allama, Abi Muhammad Rabi' Ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, one of those years I went for Hajj. Alhamdulillah, I spent some time in his house, hafidhahullah, as many people do, because his house be open, especially his library. The Shaykh's house, for those who never been there, briefly, it has two-story villa, it's a big, big house, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of big houses in there. So, the first floor has nothing but a library, books. The it's like half of this masjid. It's big. So, two-third maybe of it is all books. And the third, or maybe less than that, is a sitting area where the Sheikh gives his classes and talks. And one bathroom, that's it. That's the first floor. Allahu Akbar. And that's open, ya akhi. You can go anytime. If the door is open, you go. Bismillah. And there's nobody guards or nothing. They ask you, who are you? You have membership? None of that. You just go there and get in. The door open, alhamdulillah. You go and sit there, inshallah. And if the Sheikh know that you're down there, he will tell somebody, send some tea for them with some dates. Karam, generosity. Ayyam. And then the upstairs, that's where the Sheikh, his house is. Ayyam. So anyway, one of those days we were there, and the Sheikh, he was refuting this Mubtadi, who was, subhanAllah, causing a lot of fitan and trials. And Sheikh Rabi, he was in this mas'ala, there is this hadith. And they were looking for this hadith, but the Sheikh Rabi', he's like, this hadith, subhanAllah, he's weak with me. A hadith da'if. They were looking for a hadith, looking here, there, and there. Finally, the next day, a student of knowledge came and said to the Sheikh, said to him, I was there, said to the Sheikh, Ya Sheikh, li indi laka bushra sarra. I have excellent news for you, Sheikh. Oh man, subhanAllah. The one thing about Sheikh Rabi', if he's sitting, he's standing, he's laying down, he always have a book in his hand. And if he's laying down, you find a book in his chest, two books in his right books. That's his life. Wallahi al-Azim, I never seen the Sheikh in his house without a book in his hand or a book next to him. Never. Except when he comes and give a talk. When he go upstairs to his house, upstairs where he had, subhanAllah, constantly. I saw him when the Sheikh was very sick, still have books next to him. Reading, try his best, even though the doctor, they said, don't read. He's like, don't read. This is what make me feel better, don't read. It's like what make me feel better, subhanAllah. Like one of the Salaf, he was in a barber, and he was taking his, cutting his head, his hair, and he was remembering Allah. When he get to his mustache, then the barber said, Sheikh, would you just be quiet so I can cut? He said, do your things, I gotta do my things too. He said, do what you gotta do, and I gotta do this. Allahu Akbar. They remember Allah all time. From them is Sheikh Ibn Baz. They mention a lot about him. Constantly remembering Allah. Constantly, Akhwan. And me, I can tell you that with Sheikh Rabi', Hafidahullah. Constantly remembering Allah. We get with him in a car, he's remembering. He's remembering Allah. We learned a lot from him, Hafidahullah Ta'ala. Ala ayin, the Sheikh, he was laying down and reading when the student of Allah enter, and then he's like, Sheikh, li indi laka bushra sarra. I have an excellent good news for you. The Sheikh, he was so happy. He said, Naam, what is it? He said, that hadith, actually, Sheikh Al-Albani said it is Hassan. You see? He said, Sheikh Al-Albani said that hadith is Hassan. Then the Sheikh, subhanAllah, you see on his face, like, he's like, okay, mashallah. If it's Hassan with Albani, it's weak with me. And I go with what Allah given me, the knowledge that Allah given me, so I cannot just follow Al-Bani, subhanAllah. You see, this is an example that show you that for the layman's, now you can follow the opinion of one of the scholars, alhamdulillah, as long as that opinion does not, as the Sheikh he mentioned, does not go against the Adilla, otherwise it's going to be blindly following like certain people that says, look, that's my man, and I don't care what other people say, as the Sheikh is going to mention. قال والطرف الثاني الذي يرفض أقوال العلماء جملة ولا يستفيد منها وإن كانت موافقة للكتاب والسنة وهذا تفريط. He says the second extreme. What is the first extreme? Who can remind me? What was the first extreme? نعم ساجد. أحسن. Blindly following one madhab or blindly following what? One scholar. What does it mean? You raise your hand, right? No? Okay. Naam. Who can explain what Sajid says? Naam, Abu Abdurrahman.
As far as the layman, they're allowed to take son is gone, if he's from Africa, so it's a chance of knowledge, he has to seek the truth. And it is considered blind following, even if something comes to him of the truth, he just...
Ahsant, that's what I was looking for. They blindly follow on because they cling to the opinion of certain men, even when they contradict the proofs and evidences. That's blindly following. That was the first extreme, and that's an extreme. And yes, you find people like that. They say they Ahnaf, for example, or they Malikis. They upon shirk. If Imam Malik called to shirk, a'udhu billah. Some of them, he even give them the statement of Imam Malik in a matter that they know. Imam Malik never said that. Because they just upon ignorance. And everything, Maliki, Hanbali, Hanafi, Shafi'i. Sometimes you don't even have to give them the statement of another alim. The same alim that they claim they follow his madhab. Tell him, but they says, no, the Sheikh will never say such thing. We know the madhab. And they are ignorant. So that's an extreme. The other extreme, the second extreme, is those who reject the statements of the scholars outright and do not benefit from them, even when they are in conformity with the Quran and the Sunnah. You see? That's another extreme. This is negligence. So you find in one way, people, they take one person or two, whatever they say, we're down with them. Even if the statements of that alim contradict the proofs and evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, they're like, look, it's our ulama, we're going to do what they are upon. And that's one extreme. The other extreme is those who don't care about what the ulama says. They bring the ma'alim, they say, look, I don't listen. Even if what the ulama are saying is in conformity with that, an agreement with that which is in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال الشيخ فالأول مفرد وهذا مفرد. الأول مفرد وهذا مفرد. So in the first example, the person is an extremist, while in the second, he is negligent. He is negligent. ثم قال الشيخ فأقوال العلماء فيها خير لا سيما فقه السلف. أقوال العلماء فيها خير لا سيما فقه السلف. لهذا يقول العلماء وكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل شر في ابتداع من خلف. يقول الشيخ أقوال العلماء فيها خير لا سيما فقه السلف فقه الصحابة والتابعين والأئمة الأربعة والفقهاء الذين شهدت لهم الأمة بالفقه في الدين يستفاد من أقوالهم وينتفع بها. نعم يستفاد من أقوالهم وينتفع بها، لكن يقول الشيخ صلاح فوزان لا تؤخذ على أنها قضية مسلمة، بل إذا عرفنا أن القول مخالف للدليل فإننا مأمورون أن نأخذ الدليل. الله أكبر. The Sheikh says the statements of the scholars contain much good in them. Allah raised them, ya akhwan. The ulama, we're talking about the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, not those who are called ulama, and those who all of a sudden are ulama because of them famous on YouTube and on TV channels. So many people, they think Yusuf Istis is an alim, akhwan. Some Muslims, not just in America, in other Muslim countries, they think that Yusuf Istis, this comedian, entertainer, Allah Yahdi, may Allah guide him, and may Allah protect the Muslims from his falsehood, they think that this man is an alim. And they call him the alim on YouTube, the sheikh. And he's an ignorant person. Rather, not only if he's an ignorant person better than him, he's upon the Jahmiyya wal'iyadu billah. He's upon the Aqeedah, he's pushing the Aqeedah of the Jahmiyya. And may Allah reward our brother Musa Richards and Hafidhullah, he made an effort to expose this man for the sake of Allah, to warn the people against him. You got to be aware of these people. That's why we're learning, because now the Sheikh is talking in jail, giving us principles, but we have to use them so that we can warn against certain individuals that they are causing a lot of corruption in our amongst the Muslims. Another person, Yasir Qadi. This man, Yasir Qadi, is a very wicked, dangerous guy. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous, this guy.
Heyman, Nu'man Khan, and all of them. And Al-Maghrib Institute. Al-Maghrib Institute, Al-Zaytuna. These people are very dangerous. And as our brother, once again, Jazawallah Khairan, Musa Richardson, Hafidahullah, he exposing what they are upon. And they've been working for years. You think they just came yesterday? No, for years they've been working on this, putting the seed. And these people, they says, look, you cannot outsource the fatwa. Now you have to look at the ulama in your local, in your where you went, ulama. And he said it with his tongue. He says, like here in Detroit, there is so many ulama in Detroit. We says, ya akhi, bring one. Name one. We can all move to Detroit, inshallah, if we can, to sit with this alim. But they mean themselves. Wal-iyadu billah. Wal-iyadu billah. It's very, very important for us to know these people, ya akhwan. These people who are trying to take the Muslims away from their scholars. The scholars that Allah raised levels. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَزَاءً. These people, Allah raised them level. And once again, not because of their colors. Not because they are from this country or the other. Not because they are Arabs or non-Arabs. Because of their iman, their taqwa, and the knowledge and understanding. That's why Allah raised them level. Aynam. So it's very important for us to keep that in mind. Barakallahu feekum. He said the statements of the scholars contain much good in them. This is also applies to the understanding of the Salaf. This applies to the understanding of the Salaf, which is the understanding of the Sahaba, the companions and Tabi'een, and the great Imams of Fiqh, the scholars whose knowledge of the religion the Muslim Ummah has testified to. The great Imams of Tabi'een, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, wa Qasim ibn Sallam, wa Muhammad ibn Sirin, wa Hasan al-Basri, wa ghayruhum, wa Al-Awza'i, wa Al-Thawri, wa Ibn al-Madini, wa Ibn al-Mubarak, wa ghayruhum min al-A'imma, البخاري ومسلم وابو داود والنسائي والترمذي وغيرهم كثير يا أخوان غيرهم كثير من مالك والشافعي وأحمد وغيرهم من علماء أهل السنة. الشيخ صالح حفظه الله تعالى says one should benefit from their opinions and use them but not take them as something indisputable. You learn from this ulama. On the contrary, he says, if one realizes that this opinion opposes the evidence, we are commanded to accept the proof and not the opinion. This is how we respect our noble scholars. We love them for the sake of Allah. But we're not fanatic to them. It's not like, look, whatever this sheikh of mine says, I'm down with him. No, you're down with the haqq that he presents. That's what we do. We take the haqq from them, alhamdulillah. قال الشيخ حفظه الله أما إذا كان هذا القول لا يخالف الدليل من الكتاب والسنة فلا بأس أن نأخذ به ونقبله. أما إذا كان هذا القول قول هذا العالم لا يخالف الدليل من الكتاب والسنة فلا بأس أن نأخذ به ونقبله وليس هذا من باب التعصب وإنما من باب الانتفاع بفقه السلف الصالح والاستفادة منه والاستضاءة به فهو السبيل إلى معرفة معاني كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Pay attention to this statement. This is a very beneficial statement. It helps us a lot, ya akhwan, to understand to understand that it is not just whatever level you are in, and you decide on your own that's it, you don't need the ulama. Because certain people do this. Certain people just they get their masters or whatever in University of Medina or Umm al-Qura, and shaitan play with their mind, and it's like, that's it, he has enough knowledge, he don't have to take from nobody else. وَعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ الشَّيْخ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ هَادِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ قَالْ آفَةُ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ حِينَمَا يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ قَدْ اسْتَغْنَى عَنِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. قال هذه آفة طالب العلم. قال أما طالب العلم الحقيقي فهو الذي دائما يقول أنا لا أستغني عن العلماء. كيف يستغني عن العلماء؟ سبحان الله، من علمه إلا العلماء؟ الآن يقول عنده PhD، عنده شهادة، ما أحتاج أنا الشيخ ربيع، شيخ ربيع أنا كذلك عندي دكتوراه، صلى الله السلام والعافية. نعم، this is very important because certain people they think just because they have a little bit of knowledge, especially if they get a master or PhD from جامعة أم القرى or from the University of Medina and the like, they think, certain people think, that's it, they don't have to listen to the ulama. And some of people said it with their own tongue. Nah, they say they are pan-salafiyya. And they says, look man, if you want to take from Sheikh Rabi, it's up to you. Him, he can't, because he reached a level that he doesn't have to take from the mashayikh anymore. A'udhu billah. Hada jahl, this is ignorance. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, I heard him more than once. Dr. Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Madkhali hafidhahullah, more than once I heard him saying, this is the disease, subhanallah, that destroys student of knowledge. Naam. When that student of knowledge says, look, he reached a level that he cannot take from the ulama anymore. Wal-iyad billah. Says, rather from the sign that the student of knowledge is upon the haqq, naam, is that he will always refer to the ulama. Doesn't matter how much knowledge he has, he always say, didn't you see, ikhwan, the ulama, they refer to one another themselves? These are the great scholars. How many times we heard in the tapes, those who listen to the tapes of Sheikh Al-Albani? Because Sheikh Al-Albani, we used to listen to his tapes years ago. There was no CDs, there was no MP3s, is the tape. You remember the tape cassettes? The youth right now, I don't know if anyone remember what I'm talking about. Sajid, do you know tape cassette? You see what I'm talking about? Mahmoud, of course you don't know that. Tape cassette is, that's what it used to be. Even CDs right now, a lot of people don't know what the CD is, right? Now you're asking people, even the CDs now, because it's all MP3, it's all on the iPhone, right or wrong? Everybody, everything is one phone. But before we used to be something called what? Cassette player. Alright? And it has a door. You push the button and you hear click and the door came out. Alright? And you take a cassette. Where is Abdul Rahim? Abdul Rahim, he has a bunch of cassettes earlier. He wants me to check them, some names and stuff. And then there is a cassette that has a film. You know the film? Whatever. And then you put it there and it plays for you. And then they tell you, please turn to the side A and there is side B. That's what we used to listen to those tapes. He used to come to us, alhamdulillah. We used to listen to Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And then the Sheikh Al-Albani, he used to refer to himself as, not just as a talib, as a tawaili. He's a alim from the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. But when somebody began to praise him and this, he was like, look, yeah, I'm only a small student of knowledge. But then you find a small student of knowledge, the reality, he wants to put himself above everybody, wal-iyadu billah. لهذا قال الشيخ أما إذا كان هذا القول لا يخالف الدليل من الكتاب والسنة فلا بأس أن نأخذه ونقبله وليس هذا من باب التعصب وإنما من باب الانتفاع بفقه السلف الصالح والاستفادة منه والاستضاءة به فهو السبيل إلى معرفة معاني كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yes, the Sheikh said, but if this opinion, all right, remember now the Sheikh, he talked before that na'am, you benefit from the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and there is khair in their statements, especially the statements of a Salaf, because that's the best. All good is found in the statements of the Salaf. وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفْ, in following the way of the Salaf. Then he says, but the statement of one of the ulama should not be adhered to blindly, even if it opposes the dalil, even if it opposes the dalil, the proofs. That's why he's saying now, but if this opinion of that alim, that scholar, does not contradict the evidence found in the Quran and Sunnah, there is no harm in taking and accepting it. Now, there is no harm in taking and accepting it. This is not ghulu. Rather, it is benefiting, profiting, and being guided by the understanding of the righteous predecessors, Salaf al-Saleh. It is a means towards learning the meanings of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, this statement here, I said, why it's so important? Because with this you understand the statements of the ulama of the past and from the contemporaries, Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh bin Baz, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, all of our noble mashayikh, they said to you, look, you have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Who can complete what I'm looking for? Naam? Ahsant, upon the understanding of the Salaf. You see? That's why you find them all, they says, follow the Quran, sound Sunnah, they said, and they stop there? They don't stop there. They says, upon the understanding of a Salaf. Why? Because the understanding of the Salaf aids us and help us to benefit from the text. Because me and you, we can bring right now an ayah. If we said one ayah right now, one hadith, sahih, in Bukhari and Muslim, okay, what is our understanding of it? Some people say, okay, the hadith is clear, barakallahu fi. It's clear to you? According to him, he looks, it's clear. You see? It's like someone who's looking in one mirror, one side. Now the view is clear. He's backing up, he hits somebody, I don't know. Then he's like, oops, he didn't look at the other mirror. This is an example. But with the understanding of our Salaf, that's very important, Akhwan. We benefit from their understanding because Allah raised them level. Allah raised them that level so that we understand the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah according to their understanding, not the understanding of Jahmiyyah. Because Jahmiyyah, they bring ayats. The Khawarij, subhanAllah, to prove their wickedness and their corruption, they bring ayats from Quran. But where they were wrong? You think they bring ayats that are not ayats and they say it's from Quran? No, ayats in the Quran. But their corrupt understanding. They understood it their way. That's why they were wrong. That's why it's very important for us to follow and adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of Salaf Salih. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان وهذا هو القول الحق الوسط نأخذ من أقوال العلماء والفقهاء ما وافق الدليل من كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما وافق الدليل من كتاب وسنة ونترك ما خالف الدليل ونعتذر للعلماء في خطائهم ونعرف قدرهم ولا نتنقصهم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حكم الحاكم فاجتهد ثم أصاب فله أجران وإذا حكم فاجتهد فأخطأ فله أجر واحد The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he went to say, this is the correct and moderate view. What is it? He says that we accept the opinions of the scholars and the fuqaha that conform to the evidences found in the Quran and the Sunnah. And we abandon what opposes the evidence. We also pardon the scholars and make excuses for their errors while acknowledging their status and not belittling them. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Ubayd, hafidahullah, yaqul na'am, idha akhta'a a'alim min ahli sunnah. Al-khata' la yuttaba'. La yuttaba' khata'uhu li'annahu min ahli sunnah. لكن تحفظ كرامته لا بد من هذا القيد تحفظ كرامة هذا العالم لأنه من علماء أهل السنة لكن الحداديون يسيئون الأدب مع العلماء والعياذ بالله يتظاهرون بالسلفية لكن يسيئون ما يقبلون كلام العلماء وينتقون منه ما يوافق أهواءهم والعياذ بالله So it's very important for us, إخوان When it comes to the error, when a alim, for example, his opinion found by other ulama, for example, that he was wrong in that opinion, Shaykh Ubayd Hafidahullah Ta'ala advising everyone, he says, that it is from the principles of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that when a alim from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah said something that is not correct, okay, meaning made a mistake, His mistake is not to be followed. Yes, the alim will love him, will respect him, but that mistake of his is not to be followed. because we are commanded to follow the haq, not to follow a alim, whatever he says. That's the Sufis and the Ahlul Bid'ah, the Khawarij and the Ikhwanis and the whatever, the Ahzab. They're the one that they have their wala' to the people. Whatever that sheikh of theirs, that founder of theirs, that leader of that jama'ah says, that's it. It's la. We are commanded to adhere to the Quran and to the Sunnah. But how we understand once again the Quran and the Sunnah, we need the ulama. We need the scholars, it's very important. So we love them and we respect them. And we follow them because the haqq is with them. Because Allah raised them level and they study. Because how alim become a alim? Once again, in our time, Allah musta'an. Somebody become a alim just because he has 3.5 million hits on YouTube, does it? He's a alim. I qualify him to be a alim. How is he a alim? Look at the YouTube. He has 3.5 million hits. That's a alim. Another people, somebody who memorizes Quran and has beautiful voice, he's a alim. That's it. He has to be alim. Why, akhi? Memorize Quran. Memorize the Quran is a alim. No, memorizing the Quran is an excellent thing. It's a good thing. But that's not the only thing that qualifies a person to be a alim. These are ulama because they study from ulama for years and they have the correct understanding. They have taqwa with it because one of the characteristics of a alim is not just knowing a lot. There is some people they know a whole a lot. But they are not ulama. Ulama su. They are not ulama rabbaniyun. They are evil people who have knowledge, but they are evil because they are corrupt. They are upon falsehood. The alim is the one who have knowledge and took it from the scholars for a long time. And he act upon it. He has taqwa and has wara. And doesn't matter. He doesn't have to be 70 years old. No, he can be young. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, I listened to him today on Mirath al-Anbiya, mirath.net. Well, it's very excellent, alhamdulillah, application and website. And he was mentioning, he says that for a person to be a alim, it's not always has to do with the age. Some, yes, the age is very important, but some of the people, they become ulama, they were young, in their 30s. He said, even look at the Sahaba, some of them are ulama, but they were young. They were young. Allah raised them levels, alhamdulillah, with the knowledge they have and their understanding. So Shaykh Ubaid, he says, when a alim errs and make a mistake, his mistake is not to be followed, but his honor is preserved and protected. Just because Shaykh bin Baz, for example, said something, or Shaykh Albani, or Shaykh Rabi', then all of the sudden, well, he's nobody. This is the way of the Haddadiyun and Sururiyun. Those who they claim they are upon Salafiyya, but then they are not, they don't follow the principles of Salafiyya. It's not, the Salafiyya is not just by claim and by affiliation. A person has to live it in his life. It's easy to say, oh, I'm Salafi. Alright, what the actions, our actions and statements, decision we make, will prove whether we are true Salafis or not, or we're on something else. So, one of the principles is that the Salafi, he respect the ulama. And by respecting them doesn't mean when a person says, look, we're not following the opinion of the Shaykh, doesn't mean that that Shaykh is not a alim. La abadan, abadan. La yanqusu min qadrihi. Doesn't take anything away from his status, this alim. بالعكس هذا يرفعه لأنه يقبل الخطأ ويرجع عنه. Rather that mistake, it become a means to raise this alim levels with Allah, not with the people. With Allah, why? Because that alim, he will say, yes, جزاكم الله خير. That was a mistake of my part. جزاكم الله خير وأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. I seek refuge with Allah سبحانه وتعالى and repent to Him. هذا يرفعه الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال أما أهل البدع فلا كرامة لهم. شيخ عبيدي said, but when the people of innovation, they make mistakes, not only that the mistakes are not to be followed, but they are refuted as well, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and they have no honors because they are people of innovation, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So Shaykh Saleh, حفظه الله تعالى, he says, this is the correct and moderate view, that we accept the opinions of scholars and fuqaha that conform to the evidences found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and we abandon what opposes the evidence. We also pardon the scholars and make excuses for their errors while acknowledging their status and not belittling them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمْ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. When the judge makes a ruling, exerting his judgment, and is correct, he gets two rewards. The ulama, they said he gets two rewards, one for being correct and the other for his efforts, because he is qualified to make efforts for ijtihad. And when he makes a ruling exerting his judgment and is incorrect, he gets one reward. لأنه أهل الاجتهاد. This hadith, the ulama, they mention it on the ulama as well. If عالم فهل السنة made an effort and made a ruling, and it turns out that the ruling was not correct, he still rewarded once for his effort. لأنه أهل لذلك, because he is qualified and he is from the people that they have the right to exert efforts in giving a ruling. Same thing the ulama they said. But if an ignorant person who's not qualified and he tried to give a ruling, that's a sin. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, that's a sin. Even if he may be right, because he didn't get it right because he just get it right. He says, see, I told you. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So we have to, once again, this is very important. We need to know our levels, Ikhwan. It's very important for us. Shaitan is not going to leave us alone. Especially those amongst us, alhamdulillah, that tawfiq is from Allah, Ikhwan. It has nothing to do with who you are, what country you come from, or, you know, your blood, whatever, you know. Tawfiq is from Allah. If Allah is aiding you and helping you by you getting on the path, alhamdulillah, and you reading more and memorizing some mutun, and you see yourself, alhamdulillah, getting some understanding, and your life is towards learning, thank Allah for that. Because Allah may take that away from you in any moment. This is fitan. That's the first thing you have to thank Allah. So that, and ask Allah firmness upon what you are, and ask Allah to make you better. That's one thing. And the second thing, the shaitan is not going to leave you alone. You're trying to hold on to the path of Allah, especially in our environment. When people, man, they like, look, man, we got to do what we got to do. Akhi. Look, there ain't no ulama around us. Alhamdulillah, I'm praying. Akhi. Alhamdulillah, I go to masjid. No, no, no. Shaitan going to play with your mind. And going to make you, shaitan, of course, he work on a people according to what level they are. If a person is weak, in his iman, in his taqwa, take him back and invite him to the streets and take him away from the deen. But if a person is strong and he has ambition, lofty ambitions, and he really wants to stick to this path, the shaitan will come to him in another way, ghurur. Deception. He deceive him by what? Oh, you're better than everybody here. Nobody like you, man. So that's it. Alright? So you're the man. Like in our terms, you're the man, man. Alright, so how does shaitan get this person? And so now when somebody come and tell him, Akhi, I want to talk to you, don't talk to me. Who are you? You're not in my level, Akhi. Go talk to your peers over there. You see those people over there? Go talk to them. I'm not your peer, brother. You think I spent 6 months in Egypt for nothing, brother? Huh? Are you going to come and talk to me? Come on, man. You were here in America eating all that what you eat, ice creams. You don't know what I went for those 6-8 months up there, man. No, no, no. You can't talk to me, brother. Shaitan have tricks. So much so that some people, they forget who they are, that when the ulama, Ahlul Sunnah, they say certain things, they still find some people, they're like, oh, okay. Well, that's our Shaykh, he said it, but hey, you know, man, we here, we know what's going on. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a very, very big mistake that certain people do. We ask Allah to protect us from falling into those mistakes. And we ask Allah to guide those who they make those mistakes to get back, because some people, they say they're Salafis. Upon Salafiyya. Well, alhamdulillah, we want good for the people. The Salafi, he wants good for his brothers. The Salafi always, his heart has to be clean for his brothers. No matter what they do for to him, he has to always keep in mind that, look, these are my brothers. As a Muslim, just as a Muslim, regular Muslim, Islam teaches us, ya Ikhwan, to pardon, to forgive. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا وَمَنْ إِشْ وَمَنْ عَفَى فَأَجْرُهُ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ سبحانه. أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مش عَلَى النَّاسِ. Even when someone do you wrong, you have the right. Do you have the right in Islam by this ayah to do the person the same wrong, not to transgress? You have that. That's justice in Islam. But Allah says, but whoever pardon, why he pardon? Wa aslah, to bring reconciliation. That person's reward is with Allah. So when somebody says something to you, send you a nasty text message, for example, what would you do, Tariq? At that moment when you receive, I want your reaction now, because I want the brother to understand what I'm talking about. When you receive that nasty text message, Tariq, what is your reaction? You're a human being. You smile? You get angry. You're like, why? Why? SubhanAllah. Especially if he comes from somebody that you know, when he's upon the same da'wah. He's not somebody Sufi. If a Sufi sends you a nasty text message, that's good for you. That's good. The problem is when a Sufi sends you a nice text message praising you, then you have to say, so why he's praising me? Man, astaghfirullah, I must have done something that is not right for a mubtadi' to praise you. That's a problem. But for the mubtadi' to criticize you, Allahu Akbar. من علامات أهل البدع إيش الواقعة في أهل الآثار. That's one of the signs of the people of innovation, that they talk bad about the people of narration and sunnah. So now being angry, that's okay, akhi. That's, you're a human, I'm a human, I get angry too. But what is the, we're talking about here, what makes the difference is how you deal with it. You see what I'm talking about? You can send a nasty text message too, right or wrong. You can. But is it going to do any good? Huh? Is it going to bring some good? I don't think so. Now you be patient. Alhamdulillah. Says, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. I don't know. And keep in mind, sometimes, wallahi, a person may send you that nasty text message, it was not even for you. It was for somebody else. Just made a mistake. Right or wrong. He wants to send you a text message, send you to somebody else, and he send it to you. The least you can say, akhi, you received. You got that? Astaghfirullah, you remember? Actually, even he just sent me something earlier, not a nasty, it was a nice one. Alright, but he wants to send it to another person. You're right, because I'm like, so, sometimes I receive texts, sometimes grocery list. Yes, I do. A grocery list, not from my wife, from a brother. I'm like, well, is he giving me hints? And then it's like, Afwan akhi, Allah, astaghfirullah, that was not for you. You see? So it's very important, Ikhwan. We have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. And we are nobody, man, without the advice of our noble scholars. We stick to it and alhamdulillah, and apply them in a way that we bring good to ourselves, to our families, to our communities, because this good, ain't nobody going to do it for us. What do you think? The city hall is going to do it for you? It's us, yaakhi. We have to work together and make our lives easier, not harder. It's already hard as it is. In the streets, in whatever, we worry about our children, we worry about women, ourselves, we worry about our akhlaq. Now we have to worry about one another too. We have to be easy with one another. That's what the Salafis are upon. Salafi, and we're not talking about be easy with the people of innovation. I'm talking about Salafis among themselves. They have to be easy with one another, be kind. If someone is mad today, angry, you be the one who calm or slow down. You know? And later on, tomorrow, tell him, akhi, this and this is like, Jazakallah khayran, akhi, subhanAllah, man. You let me go, huh? Yeah, I was mad, but you let me go with that? Yeah. Why? You're my brother. You see? That's how we're going to build. These are the bricks. They're going to put more build in the building. No? Not everyone has a sledgehammer in his head. What did you say? knocking out those bricks. Okay, you hear things, it's like you didn't hear it. Even somebody can say, you didn't hear him? Taqillah, go to read Quran. I heard the man. What are you going to do about it? See, some people are wallahi, man. They tell you, you hear him? Yes, I hear him. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing? You let him go like that? Yes, I'm going to let him go. Why, akhi? Because Allah tells us in the Quran this, this and this. The Prophet ﷺ this and this. You still don't know why I'm letting my brother go? Yes, subhanAllah. Amen. قال الشيخ أما الجاهل أو المبتدئ في طلب العلم فهذا ليس له اجتهاد ولا يجوز له أن يجتهد وهو آثم باجتهاده أخطأ وأصاب لأنه فعل ما ليس له فعله. لو الشيخ صالح الفوزان says when he mentioned that the عالم, أي نعم the عالم, he still get reward once even if he make a mistake. He says as for, أي نعم, he says, an error is pardoned if it comes from a person that has in him all the conditions of ijtihad. We'll leave this after the adhan, inshallah ta'ala. It needs time for the adhan. In conclusion to this, the answer, reading the answer to this question from the beneficial answers to questions on innovative methodologies by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Dr. Saleh Al-Fawzan, he says, an error is pardoned if it comes from a person that has in him all the conditions of ijtihad. That alim is pardoned. And keep in mind that his mistake is not followed. As for the ignorant person, or a beginning student of knowledge, he cannot do ijtihad. Nor is it permissible for him to perform ijtihad. An ignorant person doesn't go to the ayah and says, oh, this is what we understand and this is what we're going to do. That's not permissible for a layman, and it's not permissible for a beginning student of knowledge. He cannot do ijtihad, nor is it permissible for him to perform ijtihad. The Shaykh, he said, if he does do it, he will be sinning, regardless if he is correct or mistaken. SubhanAllah. Even if he's getting right. That's a sin. Why? He says, since he has done something he has no right doing. He has no right doing. Okay, because he just thought that he was like, okay, by coincidence, whatever. No, this is the deen of Allah. And we have to understand these things. Ikhwan, barakallahu feekum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who, when they listen to the speech, they follow the best of it. Ask Allah to preserve our noble scholars. And protect them and preserve them and increase them in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them health, sound health. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to benefit from their works. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.